Well, I'm so glad you're here today. We're going to continue our series in the book of Proverbs called Wise Up. Before we jump into that, I just want to ask you, do I talk about mountain biking a lot? I didn't think I did, but this morning I showed up and was given not one, not two, but three copies of Ride's magazine by the Daily Sentinel. And we don't get the paper, but some folks here at the church do, and I guess thought that I would be interested in reading it. So either way, I don't know, but I guess I must talk about it quite a bit. That and recently, when I get a text from someone asking me a question, it's happened three or four times over the last month. If I don't respond right away, like within 5 minutes, there's a follow-up text. Oh, you must be out mountain biking. Or I could be in a meeting with someone, or, you know, something along those lines. But so glad you're here today. Last Sunday, my wife and I left here fully intending on flying out to San Diego, California. And our flight was delayed. We ended up getting out of here about 5 o'clock finally instead of 12 like we were supposed to. So I appreciate everyone's flexibility. There was no need after all, but we had a great time networking and being encouraged by some preachers from around the country and learning kind of what they're doing. And then we decided, hey, since we're out there, we'll plan ahead and spend a few extra days. So we did some biking and and walking around, saw the USS Midway and a few other things. It was a great trip, but good to be back home. So glad that you're here today. Again, I hope that besides looking at Proverbs on Sundays, that you are studying the book of Proverbs each day, corresponding, reading a chapter of Proverbs that corresponds with the day of the month. So for instance, today would be Proverbs chapter 26, tomorrow 27, so on and so forth. Start over on March 1st in Proverbs chapter 1. That's the challenge over this series. But today we're going to be talking about anger. Anger is something that comes up every three or four chapters in the book of Proverbs. Solomon is not silent on the topic. And so let's start by looking at a few of the verses that he uses in his teaching. So Proverbs chapter 22 verse 24 says this, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered." Don't associate with people like that. And we talked a few weeks ago about the importance of wisdom, but how also in life, when we hang out with people, when we spend time with people, a lot of their behaviors, their habits, their vocabulary will kind of seep into our life. And so again, with the issue of anger and being hot-tempered, if you hang out with people like that and spend a lot of time with them, you might be thinking, well, maybe some of my good will seep into them. You know, it's been said it's a lot easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull them up. A lot of their anger, their hot-tempered nature can kind of seep into your life as well. So be really careful about that, understanding of that. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 2, this one from The Message. Quick-tempered leaders are like mad dogs. Cross them and they bite your head off. Maybe you know someone like that. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11 says this. Stupid people express their anger openly, but sensible people are patient and hold it back. My wife tells us all the time, you shouldn't say everything that you're thinking. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29 says this, slowness to anger makes for deep understanding. A quick-tempered person stockpiles stupidity. I think that's a great analogy. Stockpiles stupidity. Here's the truth. We have to admit this. Every one of us, we all know what it feels like to get angry at times. Some of you are angry right now. How dare he talk about anger? I don't struggle with anger. I don't have anger issues. Is he saying something? Does he say that we have an anger problem? That's not the case. But we all know what it feels like to get angry. We all express anger in different ways, different levels, different fashions. I don't want to lose anybody here as we get started. So let's just talk about a few of the ways that we sometimes express anger. Some of you express your anger kind of like toxic waste. You bury your anger deep down. Your frustrations. You kind of bury it deep down in your life and you try and ignore it. But then after a few weeks or a few months or a little bit longer even, it kind of begins to seep out into your life, into your relationships. It's toxic to you and the people around you. Some of you express anger kind of like a volcano. Something happens and you kind of begin to, you know, stew and rumble for a few days, a few weeks perhaps, and then nobody knows the reason why, but then all of a sudden, you just start to begin spewing ash and lava all over everybody. Anyone around you knows that you're upset. It's very obvious. And so people kind of walk on eggshells around you. Some of you might be thinking, well, why do people express their anger that way? Because you express your anger by kind of like an ice storm. You just ice everybody out. How you doing? I'm fine. You don't seem fine. No, really, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm doing great. You don't seem great. No, really, I'm good. And you just kind of ice people out, and you're angry, you're upset. That's how you handle it. Others are like a microwave. You have zero incubation period. And so when you get upset, you kind of count down a few seconds, and then you blast off. There's all kinds of different ways that we express our anger. Solomon says in the book of Proverbs very clearly that anger is an issue in our lives, in the lives of those around us, in our families, in our culture. And today, I want us to get a little bit more insight into this issue on anger. So Solomon offers great observations about how it wreaks havoc in your life, but he doesn't offer necessarily a lot of solutions other than, you know, keep it under control. And so I want to jump out of Proverbs today over to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bible with you, switch over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Paul, the apostle, writes these words while he's in prison. So that alone is probably a little bit of reason for him to be frustrated, maybe even a little bit angry at times. And so two verses I want to look at and two things I want us to study today about anger. Here's what Paul writes. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. If you're taking notes today, here's the first thing I want you to realize. It is not a sin to get angry. In verse 26, Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. In other words, you're going to have moments of anger in your life. So am I. The command is do not get angry. The command is in your anger, do not sin. Here's something that I think you need to know about anger. Anger is a neutral emotion. And I say that you might be arguing with me right now, but just hear me out. Anger can be good or anger can be bad. Most of the time when we think about anger, we think of bad expressions of anger. For instance, you're in a parking lot in your car and you're searching for the perfect parking spot and you found it. And the person has arrived, and they've gotten into their car. You see the brake lights, and you're kind of waiting. When are they going to pull out? And then you see the backup lights, the reverse lights. Hey, they're backing out. And just as they back out and you begin to pull forward, someone else pulls into the perfect parking spot. And it doesn't matter if you got kids in the car or not. You begin to stew and speak about that person in maybe a negative way. And how dare they? This happened to me 2 weeks ago. I was alone in the car, so there are no witnesses. But, I mean, or maybe you're at the grocery store, and you just want to get in and out, and, you know, and so you got a 4 or 5 items, and so you walk into the 10 items lane, and the person in front of you begins to unload their cart, and clearly they can't count because they have 15 items in their cart, and you just begin to kind of, your blood begins to boil, and you're just kind of getting upset. How dare they check out of the quick checkout line, express with more than 10 items? Bad expressions, negative expressions of anger. But they're also good expressions of anger. I mean, lots of things that we could be angry about that are good to be angry about. I mean, just recently, just in the past couple weeks, we watched the Super Bowl, right? And first of all, the Broncos weren't even in the Super Bowl this year. And then the Falcons lose. And to top it all off, the Patriots win. All reasons to be frustrated about, right? Maybe not angry, but frustrated. But then if you begin to think about the other things that are tied to the Super Bowl, you may not be aware of this, I bet you are, but hundreds, maybe even thousands, mainly girls, are oftentimes brought along to the city that the Super Bowl is held in modern-day slave trafficking. And that should make you angry. That should make you upset. When you find out about the things that are going on in the world around us, those types of things should make you angry. They should make you very upset. There's a righteous anger talked about in the Bible when kids are being abducted or kids are being abused or poor people are being oppressed. Those are reasons to be upset. What about this? And this is probably a topic for another sermon altogether, but since we're talking about anger, I'll talk about this one. What about when people use God's name in vain? What about when they misuse Jesus' name? Have I told you I mountain bike from time to time? I ride with some guys here at church, but occasionally some other guys will tag along who are not from church, and I like to call it evangelistic mountain biking. Oftentimes some choice words will be spoken during those bike rides until they ask, well, what do you do for a living? Well, actually, I'm a preacher here in town. I can take a lot of language. I can hear it, and you know, in one ear, out the other. I get it. But when somebody uses God's name in vain, when they misuse Jesus' name, I have a problem with that. And I mean, I kind of want to grab them and shake them and say, do you know what God thinks about his name? Do you know how important God's name is to him? And you're just kind of tossing it around like an expletive. Do you understand what you're doing? It upsets me. There are things that it's okay to be angry about. So as we begin this, I want you to understand it is not a sin to get angry. There's times when it's negative and not okay, but sometimes it can be good. So just kind of stick with me. Here's number two this morning. It is a sin to stay angry. It is a sin to stay angry. If we continue, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, Paul writes, "Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry." Now, a lot of times when you've heard this verse, you've probably heard it referred to in the context of marriage. Hey, don't go to bed angry, right? I mean, it's true in my life with my wife. I mean, when we're having an argument, well, normally it's because I've done something wrong, right? And so we're having an argument, and it's time to go to sleep, it's time for bed, and it's like, well, okay, do we deal with this tonight? Do we stay up late, or do we go to sleep? And so sometimes we'll stay up late into the night talking about it. I mean, it's that significant. It's kind of unsettling, and you know what I'm talking about, many of you. Other times, we'll reach a point where it's like, hey, I love you. I really like you right now. I love you. I'm committed to you. Let's get some sleep, and we can deal with this tomorrow again. And either way, you normally wake up exhausted because either, you know, you were up late talking about it, or you were up late unsettled about it. But usually it's good to deal with things, resolve them in your heart before you go to sleep, before you go to bed. There are some things, though, in your marriage or in life that cannot be resolved in a few hours' time, right? A lot of things. Here's something that you need to know. Your anger at night is often not directly related to something that happened that day. Your anger at any given point in time is often not related to something that just happened. Here's the second thing to realize, or another truth, I guess, to know about anger. Anger is a secondary emotion. It's a secondary emotion. I don't know all of you, and I know that you don't all know me, but I know this about anger. Anger exists in our lives, and every bit of anger in your life or frustration in your life is a direct result or a reaction to something or someone else, something that has occurred in life. Anger is a secondary emotion. Maybe I can explain it a little better like this. Anger is a lot like an iceberg, okay? Take a look at this graphic. We need to understand anger is what people see on the surface, right? But usually it's a result of something else going on below the surface. Everybody can see that you're angry, but maybe they don't know that you were hurt by someone. Or maybe you got humiliated in front of a lot of people. Or maybe you were abandoned or ignored or abused or betrayed, deceived, rejected. Any number of things can take place below the surface. All people really see is the anger. They don't really know what's going on in your life. They don't put it together. And here's what's crazy. What you're visibly angry about in your life, whatever's making you angry, could have actually occurred two or three days ago or weeks ago or months ago or years, even decades or seasons of life ago. And it is just now kind of bubbling to the surface and beginning to wreak havoc. You could have been ignored by some friends 2 months ago. It's just been bugging you. You could have been abandoned by your dad a decade ago. And now, 10 years later, it's starting to come to the surface. And that's why Paul says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Carry your anger, these emotions, as short a period of time as possible. Don't let this season of life go down while you're still angry. Ephesians 4:27, here's why. This is what he says. Do not give the devil a foothold. When you and I let unresolved anger continue to wreak havoc in our lives, we're allowing the devil to get a foothold. And what the Bible says when it's talking about a foothold, what it means is to stake out a claim. So you're allowing Satan to kind of stake out a claim in your life, in your mind, in your heart. He's kind of staked out part that he owns. And you might be saying, well, how do I know if he's done that? Well, I'm going to describe something in just a moment. And if you feel this way, or if you've sensed this way, or maybe you recall feeling this way at some point in the past, it's probably because Satan has staked out a little claim in your heart. He's gained a little bit of a foothold. Here's what the devil will do. The devil will convince you that other people owe you. He will convince you that other people owe you something in your life. And I haven't always understood it explained that way. But there's a book written by a pastor called It Came From Within. And the whole deal with anger is this. The reason anger exists in your life and mine is because somewhere along the way we were convinced that someone owes us something. Maybe your boss owes you a promotion or a raise because you work hard and he hasn't given that to you, and so you're angry with them. Or your neighbor borrowed something and they haven't returned it, or they return it destroyed, and so they owe you. Or your spouse owes you something. Because, you know, they broke their promise, till death do us part. And so they owe you something in your marriage. Or maybe your mom or dad owes you something from childhood. But I promise you that anger exists in our lives because we've come to believe somewhere along the way that somebody owes us something. And Paul again says, do not let your anger, that feeling that someone owes you something, carry on in your life. Don't let it carry over to the next season. Don't let it carry over from childhood into adolescence. Don't let it carry over from adolescence into young adulthood. Don't let it carry over from young adulthood into your marriage. And as some of you know, don't let it carry over from your first marriage into your second marriage. And here's why, because when the sun sets on a season of your life, it's very easy to lose sight of the original source of that anger or pain or hurt or frustration. We kind of lose touch with that. I was a missionary to Mexico for 10 years. We lived there for 7 years. We lived in St. Louis for 3 years and traveled back and forth. But over the years, we loved on and cared for, educated, raised up, discipled a lot of young people, boys and girls, men and women. And I'm going to talk about the boys for just a moment. But I can't tell you how many, I can't count how many of them I would see that had experienced something in their childhood. Normally it was abuse or abandonment. They'd been orphaned. A number of bad situations had taken place. And as they grew up in life, they never really knew how to deal with it. We would try to help them, and we were learning too how to help them deal with it. But they would kind of move into the next season of life, into high school and then to college, many of them. And some of them we even saw get married. And all along the way, there are people loving on them and caring for them, in relationship with them. And they're just angry. And it's, you know, you're the person that's trying to help them, and you're thinking, well, gosh, I don't know if I did anything. I don't think I did anything. I don't even think this is about us. But they're just always angry. And the problem is it never got dealt with. And so they bring it into this next season and to the next season and the season after that. And eventually it's so hard to realize what's the original source of hurt and pain and anger, because they've kind of lost touch with it. And so again, that's why Paul says, don't let the sun go down. Don't let a season of your life end while you're still angry. And I know that sounds great. And I know that we can write it down and we can take notes on the sheet today and we think, well, great, that's good wisdom. And many of you are thinking that's good, but you know it's hard. This is an incredibly difficult concept to embrace into our lives and really implement. Some of you maybe are having conversations with yourself right now or with me. Well, Seth, that sounds great. But if I let that go, if I let go of the anger, if I let go of the pain and the hurt, you know, what he did to me, what she did to me, if I let that go, if I let someone off the hook, that's just not fair. I mean, my boss, you have no idea what they did to me. Or my wife, you have no idea what she did to me. Or my parents, you have no idea what they did to me. Or my ex-friend or whatever it may be. You have no idea. It wouldn't be fair if I let that go. Well, you know this. I know this. Trust me, I know this. We've got to learn to let that go. It's not fair, right? I mean, I have three kids in my home. Any of you that have children or have worked with young people, at some point along the way, you've said, life is not fair, right? And if you are of the mindset that life has got to be fair, then you're probably going to deal with a lot of anger in life because it's not fair. Things are going to happen in life that is just not fair. I love what Paul goes on to say. This is what we should do. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I know this is hard. The reason that you and I can release the pain, the frustration, the anger to someone who has done maybe unmentionable things is because we need to remember that Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God forgave us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He forgave you, and you know you, right? You know you. You know the things that you've done and said and thought, and yet in the midst of that, God has already forgiven you. Here's something else, and this might be the most profound thought of the message today. Forgiveness is anger's worst enemy. Forgiveness is anger's worst enemy. It breaks the power of anger in our lives. And I kind of want to pull this together with three steps of how you can deal with anger, with forgiveness in your life. And this too comes from the book, It Came From Within. We can release anger. We can live a life more free if we will do this. Here's number one. Identify who has made you angry. Identify who has made you angry. I mean, it's real easy to look to the left, look to the right, and maybe at the person at work tomorrow or people presently in our lives. But we need to do the difficult work of deciding who has really made me angry. What I'm angry at, who has really done, it may be people from several seasons back. But again, that time has passed and we kind of lose sight of the original hurt, the original source of things. Who has made you angry? Number two, identify what was taken from you. You can't skip this part. A lot of times we want to, but we need to figure out and do the difficult work of identifying what was taken from me. If I cannot identify what I think was taken from me, I can't cancel the debt that I think is owed. I can't forgive what I feel like they've done to me. So I have to identify what is taken from me. I've heard this a lot. Well, Seth, I've tried to forgive them, but this is not working. Seth, I tried to forgive her, but I just don't think it's going to take. It's just not meant to be. I know that's what the Bible says, but it's not working. And I would say, well, have you really identified what you think has been taken from you? Did you do the difficult heart work to understand what it really is you feel that person owes you? What they took from you and what they owe you? A childhood? A job? Promotion? Marriage? Your reputation? Again, you'll never be able to experience freedom in your life and really offer forgiveness to someone until you do the difficult part of identifying what you feel has been taken from you. A lot of times you need a friend to come alongside and maybe speak a little truth into your life. Maybe you even need to visit with a Christian counselor who can help you dive in deep and understand the things of your life that have been taken from you, what you feel is owed you. And then here's the third step, and this is great. This is so profound. I know that you're going to be all excited about this. Number three is you need to decide to forgive that person. Surprise! I know it's not rocket science, but man, it's sure hard to do. Unbelievably difficult to forgive someone who has wronged you. And you might be thinking, Seth, I know that's what the Bible says. I get how significant anger can be in our lives from Proverbs. And I understand what he's talking about in Ephesians. And I understand the importance of forgiveness. I just don't think I'm ready right now. Not today. I don't know when I'll be ready. I would ask you, well, when do you think you'll be ready? Maybe next week? Next month? Next year? When will you be ready? Because I can promise you this. And I've seen this in my own life, even in the past couple years. The longer that you carry frustration and hurt and any level of anger around, the more you're just going to hurt yourself and your family and your friends and those around you. This is huge. The longer you carry it, the bigger risk you take in losing sight of the original source of hurt and pain. So identify who you need to forgive and identify what it is that's been taken from you, and then decide that you're going to forgive them. Here's the takeaway today. Who do you need to forgive today? For those of you grammar folks in the room, whom do you need to forgive today? Danae Wooster helps out a ton, and she writes discussion questions. And so when the takeaway came back, she'd corrected, whom do you need to forgive today? But I'd already printed all these out, so I'm like, just leave it. Who do you need to forgive today? Forgiveness is anger's worst enemy. Here's what's going to happen. I know this is difficult, and at times may seem impossible, but I want to give you a few minutes before you walk out the door today, hopefully to just be challenged, be inspired. And so the band is going to come forward. They're going to play a song. It's not a song that we're going to sing together, but the words will be on the screen, and so you can read those, you can think along. And with this song, we're going to close our time together. I think Chris will probably pray at the end. But if you have a decision to make after the song is over, if you want to come forward, I'll be up here, a few others perhaps as well, to pray with you, visit with you. So glad to be back home. Do love you all very much. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for forgiving us while we were still in trouble. Father, help us to do the bold and courageous work to recognize that our anger is based out of being convinced that someone owes us something. Father, help us to figure out what that is, who it involves, and help us to forgive them. Help us to let that go, that we can live a life to the full, a life free in you, one of happiness and joy. Father, thank you again for loving us, for sending your Son. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Give away, and the last thing on your mind today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel. The pain they cause is just too real. It takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. Flies in the face of all your pride, moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you've got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set free. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness, forgiveness, show me how to love the unlovable, show me how to reach the unreachable, help me now to do the away. You can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So letting go and be amazed by what you see through the eyes of grace. Prisoner that it really frees you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Oh. Reach the unreachable.
pray together. Father God, we just come to you one last time. We thank you for all that you do for us. Father, we are a people who truly don't deserve your forgiveness, but you give it to us freely. Father, we just ask that you would help us to live a life of example to other people. Father, as we have been forgiven, may we forgive others. May we not hold on to anger and be bitter through this life. Father, when Jesus was on this earth, he told us that this world would not be fair. He says, in this world we will have trouble. Things aren't always going to make sense, but God, we know that you love us regardless of how many times we turn away from you. You forgive and forgive and forgive. So, Father, may we take that lesson and may we learn that and apply that in our own lives so we can truly be the change in this world. We thank you for all that you do, and we ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. You guys have a blessed week. Take care.